renewables are growing, but we're still reliant on petroleum for large parts of our transportation fleet. Now, if we had had that conversation of the first part of the slides about OPEC looking one direction, all the new supply looking another direction, and we're here, and we were back in 2009 or 2005, you know, we'd be hitting the panic button. Prices would be going way, way up. We were looking for new supplies. I'll tell a quick story. In 2005, I was in the government. I was the Assistant Secretary for Policy and International Affairs. In 2005 was the big hurricanes in the Gulf, Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. And I got the glorious job of being in charge of the energy response. I was not the trailer lady. I was the energy lady. And as I think back to those times, I knew very quickly that, you know, because we had a very responsible energy industry, they had shut down production in the Gulf, they could bring it back pretty quickly. They did. But gasoline prices were $4.50. Every member of Congress had me on speed dial. It was a very unpleasant time. But I knew we had tools. We had our strategic petroleum reserve. We had other kinds of things that we could do, and we did. And we released, along with a number of other countries, oil into the market, and prices eased, and the market began to get back in balance by the time everybody was heading out for the holidays. So we dodged that. But here was a bullet that I had no toolbox for, which was natural gas. As I'm looking at the situation, as we're in August, I know that we're heading into a winter, whether it's cold or not cold, the draw on natural gas is coming. I'm looking at Europe, and they are in a huge, you know, shortage of natural gas because they're having a fairly hot summer, and we've got no spare capacity in the United States whatsoever. I found myself on airplanes to every place you will never go on vacation, literally begging for natural gas. We sped up the permits for import terminals safely, but we sped them up. And today, you know, we are now almost in our second year of exporting natural gas, and the terminals that we actually sped up are now export terminals. So if you think about between 2005 and, you know, today, how the pace of that change. So there's going to be something else that's going to have that pace of change. But today we've got that and those abundant resources, and we need to be able to utilize those for our benefit, for the benefit of those energy poverty countries, and to the benefit of the climate. But if we hadn't figured all this out, $4.50 gas would be our norm, and natural gas would be at $13 for us or something like that, right? And so we are deriving tremendous economic benefit from what now we know we have. And by the way, we don't know what we don't know. That's a Rumsfeld thing, if anybody remembers that. I don't know what I don't know. There's a great unknown. Well, what we don't know what we have off the coast of the Atlantic. We don't even really know what we have in the Permian yet. We don't really ever are going to find out what we have off the coast of California. What we do know is we've got a lot of natural resources, and we have to make practical decisions on what we do with them today, tomorrow, but also for that 2050 timeframe. Because our political system breeds 2 and 4 year solutions, and we got to breed 35 and 50 year solutions. And politicians don't like some of that because it's not really where their constituencies want to hear them go. But we're the practical people, and we have to keep reminding them of that. So here's also a little bit of a reality check. Before we mess up the system of energy in this country by bad policy or malintended policy or even good policy with unintended consequences, here's one thing we have to keep in mind. The energy today is now foundational to our economy. In 2005, it was a liability. We were spending too much on it. We were importing it. It was a national security liability. We had industries that had left to go find more affordable natural gas. Now today, we have the petrochemical industry that is moving back into this country. We have other companies in Europe that are leaving industrialized Europe and are moving here, principally Germany. Germany has electricity prices 4 times higher than it is here. They're moving here, closer to natural gas. We have companies in Asia coming here so they can capitalize on what we have here. And so now this has not just become out of the liability column into the asset column, but now it's foundational to our economy. Every one of our 50 states is in the energy business in one way or another. They're all consumers, but if they're not producing, and a lot of them are, whether it's oil, gas, coal, renewables, if they're not doing that, they're in the supply chain. And so in a very short amount of time, you have seen energy now embed itself into our economy. And before we start making up new policy proclamations of where we want things to go and that the government is going to decide better than the private sector and the market, we have to remember that this is now what is driving our economy from a moribund 1.5% growth to 3% growth. Throughout the recession, which was more protracted than it needed to be, the energy business increased its employment 38%. Non-farm employment went down 3%. I would argue, but I bet if there's an economist in the room, you could probably win the argument over me, that if they hadn't done that hiring, the recession might have been a depression. So now the energy business, and whether it goes through its ups and its downs, and we've seen very low oil prices and gas prices, it's still here, it's still part of the economy, and now it's foundational. And so as we think about policy, policy really matters. When we argued very strongly for the oil export ban to be lifted, whether you agree with it or not, a lot of people said that's a stupid idea. We don't need it. Nobody's demanding more oil. And we said, you know what? We're preparing for that 2050 timeline. If we're going to get it done now. And now look where we are. We're exporting oil all over the world. So policy does matter, even if it's not called on today. And I will tell you that I'm arguing very strongly right now, and many of you would disagree with me, and that's okay, that we should open up more acreage in our offshore. Many people in industry would say, we don't need it. And I said, you're right. You don't need it today. But don't you want to know that it's going to be there in that time frame of 20 years that you have to make your investment decision? Do you want to be here and be held to high account in the Gulf, or do you want to be in the Gulf of Guinea? Where do you want to be? Where do we want you to be? If we want good environmental practice and extraction of the resources that are still going to be called upon in that time frame, I'd say we'd like at least a lot of it here. And of course, we see oil exports on the rise as a result of that policy. But what we also have to realize is this is good for America, right? We're importing less. That means our, you know, we talk about trade imbalance all the time in Washington. God bless it. But energy is the largest commodity.